The Boop Show is supported in part by you. Go to patreon.com/frogpants.
Hey, Boop.
This is The Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for July 13th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. Let's go. What year did I say? Did I say 2013? Or did I say 2015? I have to go back and listen. I hope I said the right year. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Monday edition of The Boop Show. And sorry for no show Thursday. I told you it was going to be a little nip and tuck. I thought I had one. I actually had one all prepped. And that didn't happen. I thought, well, I'll just do it Friday and I'll make up for it. And then I got all busy again. You won't believe my schedule right now. I promise it's not you. It's me. But I told you, it's Nerdtacular Month. It's how this goes. It's the way things roll. I can't control it. It's this big ball of flame rolls on without me. I have to be there to make sure it keeps going. I have to make sure there's fuel to make it burn. But I can't always explain time and space. What? Anyway, welcome. Thanks for being here. We should get going. There's some stuff to talk about, and we'll get to all that in a minute. Pretty happy that we won our first game in the Heroes of the Pants tournament. Heroes of the Pants. That's right, our Heroes of the Storm tournament that we're running on Frog Pants with a bunch of friends and teams and stuff. 32 teams enter. One will be victorious. I guess the others will leave. And we won our first game. Our second game is tomorrow night. And we are casting some of this, recording some of this. We'll try to have it all consolidated in a single place at some point. But this, since these are just the group matches and it's very early goings, there's not a lot of organized streaming happening. That will happen more as we get closer to semis and certainly the finals. We'll let you guys know. They did that update to Witcher 3, and I played that some this week because I've been behind. Batman and Heroes and other things have kind of gotten in my way. And The Witcher 3 got that update, and the update included a tweak to the control system, which I think was a little bit weak in the game. It's not the worst thing in the world, but it's... there are issues, you know. It was twitchy and kind of, I don't know, I felt like you went from 0 to 100 miles an hour in like a single analog nudge. And I think that was just annoying. You could get over it and the game's fine otherwise, but, well, it's amazing otherwise. Otherwise, I think it'd be a bigger deal. So, they put out a patch that one of the things it did was smooth out that control scheme, and it's much, much better. I can't speak to the console version. I've only done it on PC, but that was nice. That was a nice surprise. You guys like nice little gaming surprises? I do. Anyway, that's where I've been. What have you been doing? Time for the news. Let's jump right in. Sad, sad, awful news to start us out today. Nintendo president Satoru Iwata has passed away, as you probably all heard by now. Nintendo announced the widely respected chief executive, been with Nintendo for quite a while, started there as a relatively entry-level position, some programming, some design, some gopher work. People would order food and he'd go get it. This is all his words. He died on July 11th, and they're saying, quote, due to a bile duct growth, this appears to be connected with some sort of rare cancer that he's been dealing with for a while. And while I don't think it was anything sudden for those around him, I think this was kind of writing on the wall for a while. It was hard to tell from over here because the most we see from Iwata is events where they're talking about shareholder meetings or Nintendo's earnings or, you know, future plans. I mean, I want to say it wasn't even a week and a half ago that we heard from him regarding NX development or something, some sort of sideline note. So you were still getting statements and things like that at E3 while he wasn't at E3. Apparently now, due to this, it's come out that he didn't travel due to his doctor's orders not to travel. He did appear in that Muppet thing they did with him and Reggie, and that was all sorts of delightful. And by all accounts, just everyone loves this guy. And I always got the impression that he was the sweet, nice man who also really loved video games and had a big heart. And it never, he never felt like sterile or power executive kind of guy like we tend to farm over here with our Bobby Kotick's and our, oh, who's in charge of EA now? I forgot his name. Not so much like that. Like Don Mattress or Matt, what was his name? Mattress. We're going to call him Mattress. Don Mattress, who was with Microsoft for the Xbox One reveal and launch and then left to go work at Zynga. And now he's off somewhere else, that guy. Don Matt. Damn it. Can't remember his name. Those guys all come off as a little swaggery, a little cocky. And in a way, that's kind of what you expect from an executive. But in the case of Iwata, he was so much, I don't know, just so nice and sweet and cuddly and staring at bananas and stuff. I'm not going to be able to make that reference anymore without, remembering him and feeling bad. He seemed to sort of embrace that stuff. And he was there for many of Nintendo's revolutionary moments. He's been there for some of their dips as well. But definitely a guy willing to try new things. I mean, say what you want about the Wii. It was a huge deal. It was a giant seller, and it made them a lot of money and kind of saved Nintendo at the end of the GameCube era. That was his baby. They've stayed strong in handheld due to a lot of his initiatives. I think there's a lot of things they could do as a company, and maybe new blood will change that. But I don't know. I'm sad. I'm not going to see him doing his stuff anymore. For a little bit of history here, he was, Iwata was first appointed to the director of Nintendo in June of 2000. He was promoted to the position of president and representative director of Nintendo in 2002, following the resignation of Hiroshi Yamaguchi. Then he also assumed responsibilities as chief executive officer of Nintendo of America in 2013. And between him and Reggie, they kind of ran things there. So anyway, that's just sad. 55. Too young, man. Too young. So I play this sound in memory of him. Jade Raymond joins EA for the next Star Wars game. This isn't, we're not talking about the one they're already working on, Battlefront. She says this, and if you don't know her, she's famous for spearheading, launching, and then maintaining the Assassin's Creed franchise for a number of years. She says this, I'm happy to announce that I'm joining Electronic Arts and opening Motive, a new development studio in my hometown of Montreal, Canada, she announced. She then said, sorry, and how a boot we get some poutine. According to Raymond, Motive will work in close quarters with the BioWare team. That's a quote. And sounds like they'll have a hand, or at least some hand, in creating the new Mass Effect, which is called, my memory is so short. Oh, Andromeda, right? Did I have that right? Mass Effect Andromeda, I believe. Or as my son would say, Andromeda. Yannick Roy is another quote. Yannick Roy and the BioWare Montreal team are doing some new and exciting things with Mass Effect Andromeda, and it's clear that there is already so much talent to collaborate with on site. So we don't know what's going to happen exactly. We know there's a Star Wars title involved, and we know that Jade Raymond has a good track record. So let's see what she can pull off. You guys see that IGN footage of 18 minutes of No Man's Sky? It's a little old now because I haven't talked to you in a week. Let's say it was last Wednesday or something, Thursday. 18 minutes of the head dude there sitting around in a room with a bunch of IGN guys looking at actual gameplay. And if you're still not excited about No Man's Sky, then there's nothing I can do for you, man. It seems super rad. We saw some combat. We saw some trading stuff. We understand more about the kind of robot overlord alien race that kind of keeps you straight on planets. We know more about how the exploration works, how you can jump from one part of a planet to another, jump to space, jump to other parts of the galaxy quickly, this kind of stuff. It all looked great. The weapon looked great. The mining looks fun. I'm pretty much all in on that thing. Too early to talk about price for PlayStation 4 Morpheus, says Sony. It's too early. They better hurry, though. Quote, we are talking about launching next year, so typically we don't talk about pricing 1 year ahead of time, says Sony. We think we announced the price of PS4 at E3 the year of the launch, so that's 5 months before launch, so that's too early. Not sure what he means by that. It's not like we are waiting for Oculus to announce their price, he says, because there's no, that's all PC and nothing to do with the console. We still have work to do, and we know, or we still have work to do to know the exact cost of goods and so on, they say. So they haven't announced anything, but we do know it's supposed to launch in the first half of 2016. So rev up your headset desire, because soon your console will have one. By then, we'll all have Vives. Maybe that's all we're ever going to care about, and we won't care anymore about what Sony's doing on that. I don't know. The news about, by the way, on a semi sort of not really related note, I'm very disappointed. The one thing I was so excited about from all this Microsoft stuff lately was HoloLens. I think it looks insane. What they've been showing seems really neat. But it was revealed recently that the original promise of full field of view is not happening, and that there was a much smaller field of view. And then now it's even smaller. And if you go look online and try to find that chart, which shows the field of view change, it is very disappointing how small the field of view is on that headset. As neat as that tech is, that really needs to be better. And I'm sure it will in future iterations. But I'm prepared. Listen, I'm prepared to be disappointed in almost every VR or augmented reality type thing moving forward for a little while. They can't possibly live up to the ultimate hype that we have for these things. They're going to impress us on some level. They're going to do some things pretty neat. You'll put on an Oculus and you'll go, wow, it's like I'm here. But there's something about these things that's not going to be quite there yet. They're not going to quite nail something. But all of this is important because they just create steps so that we can move closer to the ultimate goal, which is Lawnmower Man. After The Simpsons and Family Guy, guess what? A new mobile game's been announced, and it's Futurama, one I could actually care about. So Touch Arcade noticed this. It was a teaser website, I suppose, that shows that Fox is developing indeed a Futurama mobile game, despite the show not being on the air anymore. I wonder why it's Fox still. Because didn't Cartoon Network buy the rights, and then they ran new seasons, and then they canceled it? Still my favorite show on TV. Bender is featured prominently, as you might expect, and it seems like he might play a major role. Who knows? My guess is it's like a top-down, you know, build your future New York and run missions on the ship, and they'll have, I mean, I hate to say it, but they'll probably have some kind of Clash of Clans gameplay tied in with them running deliveries, fighting off stuff. I mean, just close your eyes and picture it, and I think you've kind of got the idea. We don't know anything else about it, though. They say it will feature... Oh, this is interesting. Update, everybody. Brand new information. Beep, 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 beep. Just found this. It's unclear that Futurama will also use... Oh, that's interesting. No, there was some theory that they were working on another 3D platformer because there was one for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation, or Xbox One and or original Xbox and PlayStation 2 in 2003. That's what they're referring to. No. This is going to be like City Builder deal. I guarantee it. I don't necessarily want that, but I think that's what they're working on. The new Warcraft movie trailer didn't get released. They showed it at Comic-Con. Everybody there saw it in the audience, and we didn't get to. Once again, Legendary Pictures, man, holding back. They won't let anybody see nothing. I haven't even seen a leaked video yet. So, seems like Deadpool got a leaked video. Somebody else took a cell phone video of, what do they call it? Suicide Squad, but nobody got the Warcraft one. So instead, what you were left with this week is mobile phone flyover of part of Azeroth, specifically flying over Stormwind on the back of a griffin, and it's best viewed on Google Cardboard or some sort of VR enclosure to put your phone in, which I did. I put my iPhone 6 inside of a Google Cardboard cutout thing. Totally worked. It was fine. Blew my kids' minds. Everybody got all excited about the potential of that. But it was short, and you just kind of see a flyover of what I assume is a CGI city. And it's all pretty and looks neat, and I can't wait for the movie, blah, blah, blah. But we still don't have any kind of hard trailer or anything for the movie. So it's unfortunate, disconcerting, sad even, that we don't have that thing yet. What else? Killzone? Oh, they're telling us, by the way, this is bad. Their new IP? That's not bad, but Horizon Zero Dawn, the one that impressed everybody so much, fighting the big dinosaur robot things, will not have multiplayer. Interesting. They did say every mountaintop is accessible, every river you can go through, every valley. It says the E3 demo that you saw is one of many, many valleys in the game. But They said that combat will not involve multiplayer. They say it breaks down into three very distinctive styles. Lets players focus on stuff like stealth tactics. Maybe another gives you the ability to use different kinds of firepower. One would assume that's, you know, gun-type weapons. And maybe a third style oriented around setting traps and being kind of strategic that way. That's all very interested to me. The guy I was talking about this is Van Beek, one of the heads at the studio. They say, quote, the XP system is mostly tied to the perk system, so you can develop and focus your character as you go. That sounds like every game. Yeah, no multiplayer, though. Sorry, man. Were you hoping for that? I didn't really care. Not once did they show that, and I went, oh, I hope there's multiplayer in that. Do people still do that? I find myself more and more going, I don't care. Just give me a really good, solid, immersive single-player experience, and then we're good. Halo 5 app has been launched. It's got some, you get a special emblem, I guess, if you download it. Companion apps, they're the rage. Microsoft has released a version of the Halo Channel News and Information app for iOS and Android. This is all ahead of Halo 5 Guardians release, which will be later this year. And I guess there's a Windows Phone version coming as well, so you guys aren't being completely left out. And if you get it now, you'll get a promotional rec pack for Halo 5, which includes this special emblem. I assume that's something on your shoulder or whatnot. Maybe your helmet. Who knows? This kind of stuff kind of bugs me. I'm not trying to be a wiener about it, but it kind of does. League of Legends reporting system has greatly reduced verbal abuse. And they say to only about 2% of all matches played in League of Legends now features verbal abuse. This is all part of that tribunal system, which in theory gives them the ability to respond more swiftly to reports about players and sort of verbal abuse in matches. I don't know how that works, if it's super real time. Somebody who plays a lot of League can cue us in on this. But supposedly, this tribunal system can differentiate between sarcasm and malice, can respond to passive-aggressive comments, and if you get a consequence, it's tailored to your individual situation. Sometimes there's penalties, other times it just triggers incentives to act better. Reporting is done by other players, and they get a voice in the proceedings of the tribunal. I don't know very much about this, but to hear that it's really truly down to 2% of all games, that's huge. That's 40% drop in whatever the perception was before that. And 91.6% of negative players changing their act and never committing another offense after just one reported penalty. Unquote. That's from Riot themselves. That's a big deal, dude. If that works, if that's a functional idea, and others can iterate on that, I think that's good for MOBAs and also just generally online play in general. Everybody could do that, right? So way to go, Riot. Again, I know so little about it, I feel like I'm, you know, barely speaking to perhaps what it is, but it seems like a very interesting combination of algorithms and human beings, which is probably best. Disney Infinity 3.0 has announced a release date. That's being developed right here in Salt Lake City. A little point of pride here. Star Wars Twilight of the Republic playset is coming with Anakin Skywalker and Ahsoka Tano figures included. If you go digital, download the Disney Infinity 3.0 edition software, including standalone figures, Yoda, Obi-Wan Kenobi, powered disc pack Star Wars Rebels figures, whatever the hell that is, Kanan Jarrus, Ezra Bridger, Sabine Wren, and Zeb Aurelius. These are some Star Wars-ass Star Wars names. Star Wars Saga Starter Pack also comes with that. Disney Pixar's Inside Out playset, so you're going to get Joy and Anger figures included. In addition to standalone figures, Sadness, Disgust, and Fear, Disney figures Mickey, Minnie, Mulan, Olaf, Sam, Flynn, and Korra, and then Tomorrowland Power Disc Pack also included in 3.0. Oh, but I didn't get the date. They didn't put the date. Oh, it's this fall. Yeah, it's this fall. So look for it this fall. Christmas is coming. That goose is getting fat. Dark Souls player is trying to beat the game upside down. This may have already been finished. Now that I look at it, because this article is from last week, before I was going to tell you about Alaska, when it's still happening. Let's see, twitch.tv/Lobos Jr. Let's see if he is still attempting what he was attempting. Oh, it's live.
Weird.
Well, he's playing. He's playing Binding of Isaac. All right. Well, apparently, I don't know how well he did, but he did a mod to flip the screen in the game, and it flips the controls as well, and got through a significant portion of the game, beating several bosses, and probably went a little further than that. But how would you like to play Dark Souls upside down? Does that sound like a fun thing to you? It sounds like a terrible idea to me. Alright, time for this. Okay? You know what this is? This is emails and calls. You guys send us emails to boopshow@gmail.com, and I read them here. You also send us voicemails to 801-471-0462, and I play them here. 801-471-0462. I'm going to start with a tweet, and I just want to address here and make clear where I stand on things. It's from somebody named Slugnutty. All right? Slugnutty sent this in, or sent it on, put it on Twitter. It's a public tweet that says, at Scott Johnson, he's talking to me directly, says, the more personal opinion you add to the Boop Show, the more I dislike you. It is your show, but just shut up and keep it gaming, please. Now, I asked this person online to explain further what was it that I said that had upset them. My guess is, you know, they're Sony. It could be anything. I'm a Sony fanboy, and you said Sony sucks at something. Or I love Nintendo, and you mentioned there aren't great games this year, or something like that. First of all, yeah, whatever. But here's the point. If you don't want to hear a show with an opinion on it, I don't know why you're listening to podcasts. Because you could just have a robot read text from a screen if you'd rather hear that. But I hate to tell you this. That's part of the show is me talking about what I like and what I want to think and what I want to say. So, them's the break, son. Here's a call from somebody about the SNES.
Hey, Scott. This is Charles from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm calling about the Boop Show, which I love very much. Just one thing I wanted to say. Mostly, I can get behind your pronunciations on things, but I can't let this one go. You continually say SNES, and I don't know if that's something you made up or you and your buddies used to say that, but me and my buddies, we used to call it the Nintendo Entertainment System, or NES. And then when the Super came out, we called it Super NES. We never said NES. We never said SNES. So I'd love you to weigh in on that. Is that something you made up? Is that something that maybe I'm out of the loop on? And I'm going to let my daughter end it here.
Aw, that's adorable. Okay, so back in the day, I called it the Super NES. I never called it the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, ever. But I called it the Super NES for a very long time, and I call the NES the NES, and I call that still the NES, all right? And also never referred to, like my parents would, as the Nintendo. I never did that. So I'm with you all through most of my life. However, in the last 10 years or so, I find myself saying SNES instead of Super NES. And I don't know why. Others around me influencing me. I don't know. You hear it talked about on a lot of shows and other kind of coverage as the SNES. I think it's like pop and soda, right? You just have a different term for it, depending on where you grew up or where you were or whatever. Maybe it's different in different parts of the country or something. But you and I are the same in terms of what we thought it was then. I was in high school when the NES came out, and then we always just called it that. The SNES, or Super NES, I don't know. Is it really a problem? Is it that big of a deal? I don't know, man. I'm not that worked up about it.
Hey, Scott, it's David. How you doing? Calling for the Boop Show. Just wanted to give you my thoughts on the new Batman game, Arkham Knight. I think it is fantastic. I personally have it for the Xbox One and completely missed the story on the whole PC debacle. I love my PC. I play all my Blizzard games on it, obviously. A ton of games on it. But I'll tell you that this is one of the reasons why I purchase games for the consoles and not for PC, even though I like the PC environment a lot. It just, you know, you don't get the same kind of bugs and headaches and driver issues that you get on a PC, on a console. I've owned consoles and PC my whole life. I love both environments, but this is one of the reasons why. I wanted to see your feedback on it, because I know you're a big PC gamer, and you usually prefer the PC version of games. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on it. And also, I still love Batman. The Batmobile is awesome. People that are hating on that thing are insane. That thing is great. All right, see you later. Boo!
Yeah, the only thing I don't like in that game is all the Riddler stuff. That stuff sucks. Okay. I think it's a little bit wrong to say that the PC is more prone to bugs and things, because it's not. I mean, there are more compatibility issues to worry about, yes, but this is a case, and most of these cases we're talking about, like this one, this is a case of them putting something out before it was finished on a platform that was less finished than the others that they focused on originally. And don't forget, this port was farmed out to a third party. It was not handled internally the way that they did the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 development, which, again, are very similar. And the whole thing's based on PC architecture anyway, so it's a little surprising the PC version came out with so many bugs. But that being said, I never had a single bug or problem on the PC. So I realize I'm in a minority, and I'm not trying to brag about it, but I didn't have a single issue. I was shocked when I loaded it, because I'd read the night before how bad things were going to be, and it's been fine. Silky smooth, no issues since day one. And everything they've patched and added since is either added to it, but nothing's taken away from it, and it was never running badly for me. So I'm probably the wrong guy to ask, but most of the time, if you're trying to keep a pretty healthy PC, generally you'll be able to play games at release really well. But once in a while, somebody will release something kind of busted. Warner Brothers is kind of in the doghouse right now for this and their botched release of Mortal Kombat. What is it now called? 10X, whatever. Mortal Kombat X on the PC was kind of busted and broken. Still sort of is. I don't know. I haven't heard. But you're not wrong when you got a closed hardware and lead hardware. So when you're dealing with like a PlayStation 4, which right now is leading, or an Xbox, which is right behind it, you can't release that broken, or you've got a PR disaster beyond all PR disasters. It's already bad enough when the PC people freak out. Just imagine what the mainstream people do who aren't as efficient with things like editing INI files or tweaking settings and stuff on a PC when it's grandma who bought this for her grandson's birthday and no worky, and everyone's freaking out as to what to do. It's a much, much bigger deal. So they make those their lead focus, and then this other one sort of gets a little short shrift. It shouldn't be that way, but that's how they did it. And that's why people are mad. And I think that stuff's, well, I say it's getting better, but then lately I guess it's been bad. So I don't know. I don't know, man. So I'm glad, there are companies out there that focus on PC development, and they release solid, polished games on PC. Blizzard is the best example, but there are many others. That's it for your calls. That's it for your emails. Thank you for sending those in. I love them. Never stop. All right, time to get out of here. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. Boopshow@gmail.com is the email address. 801-471-0462 is our phone number. Send us tweets, okay? Or follow us, whatever. @BoopShow or @ScottJohnson. You can find me there. That's it. And there's other stuff going on. We have the big Nerdtacular, and that's all I can think about right now. So I can't. There's probably other stuff to tell you about, but I can't think of any of it. Before I let you go, though, Elder Scrolls V Skyrim Dovahkiin OC Remix song is what I'm going to play right now. I love playing you guys' music. This was requested by 5 of you, so I thought, hey, why not? I'll give credit to Jeff Tinring. Jeff Tinring, I think is how you say his name. Tinring. Who was the first to request it. And it's this remix of the Elder Scrolls Skyrim remix of Dovahkiin. It's pretty cool. I think so. Do you? Well, you'll find out in a minute. Come on back, hopefully Thursday. I'm not making any promises the way things are going. Hopefully Thursday I'll be back. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.